Good afternoon. I'm very happy to have the opportunity to be here today. I'd like to thank the Summit County Public Health staff and, of course, Jean, and then the College of Public Health as well, and the feasibility committees and study groups that have afforded us this opportunity to actually come and speak about their work in conjunction with us. And, of course, I have no relationships to disclose. So today I'm hoping to really talk about the feasibility assessment process that we really had undertaken within two communities in Northeast Ohio. And what we're going to look at in terms of the process, initially the feasibility study was commissioned, and the group was pulled together to determine whether or not the consolidation of these organizations were actually going to be feasible. And we'll spend some time talking about what these particular critical areas were and how that feasibility was determined. The important part that we'll share and talk about, and we'll kind of lead into the other two presenters, when we look at the task force feasibility group, the members that were selected to participate were very key. They were very significant in terms of the process and the collection of the data, and then ultimately the outcome. And within that feasibility group, work groups were established. And of course, as always, when there's committees, you want to have very particular timelines so that the work begins and it ends. We'll spend some time talking about some data collection and some of the results that were from that, and then there was a final report written. So when we really look at the eight critical areas, why? Well, it became a standard in which the group could measure, was this feasible or not? Not, are we going to consolidate, but is it feasible to have this happen amongst these health departments? And within each area, data was collected. So instead of looking at it in totality, the group was able to look at each individual area, and we'll get into that as well. So here are the areas. When you think about laying this out and overall a plan of action and how to attack something like this, where do you start? Well, ultimately, because as a health department, you're providing programs and services. So to get a sense of what do each health department, what can they bring? What is unique? What services do they provide? And of course, facilities. Do you have one facility? Do you have eight facilities? Do you have functional facilities, water treatment, et cetera? And then, of course, personnel, because that is sort of the crux of what this health department is. And things that may not seem very significant become very significant in terms of work hours, work schedule, benefits, and Jean will spend time talking about that as well. In addition, governance, legal issues, the financial piece, very significant. Breaking down where do your funding sources come from? There's such a unique part about health districts. In addition to the programs and the population that's served, it's really a lot has to do with funding sources. Are you receiving federal grants? Do you have state grants? Do you have levies? In Ohio, we rely on levies generally for our county districts or even local taxes. And then really engaging the community, because if the purpose of the health department is to serve its citizens and residents, you want to be sure that people are engaged, that you have the right players talking about this and getting what would be best for their community. And lastly, a timeline. So my hope is to provide you just a listing. I'm not going to read each one, but just to give you a sense of what data was collected. So the feasibility group would get together, the work groups would get together, and each time during each meeting, items were presented. And these were some of the data sources that each health department were asked to provide. And then they were compiled together. So as an example, Excel doesn't do very well translating, but just as a vision of how you could do a comparison. So for example, Summit County with their food safety and vending. Okay, well there was a particular description of what that meant. What did that program mean to them? And then when you compared it to Akron, their department and their explanation of how that program was managed and what particular were the tasks. And you could then compare budgets, personnel, sources of funding to sort of begin aligning which programs are actually the same but are in different departments or actually are doing the same services but maybe call something different. What happened to you? My slide too. Okay. Some other important things to consider when you think about beyond the data that was collected and what the feasibility group actually looked at, there are contextual things that really make a difference. And it's those sort of contextual points that are interwoven within this sort of objective quantitative data that was able to be collected. And so when you look from the local level, you know, if you're looking overall at assessing what is this a possibility, can we do this, really looking at economic pressures, programs and service demands, the needs of your community, state context, same thing, economics, political will. So there's very much very similar themes depending on which level that you're considering. But overall, we know that ultimately the national accreditation standards, essential public health services, and even our shift from the old paradigm of public health to now the newer paradigm of assessment assurance and policy development. And we know that there is sort of a behind the scenes, and no, I'm sorry, my slides are completely out of order, and I'm not really sure. We're going to go back and look and see what happened. Yeah, here we are. Okay. So when we look at what the informal assessment process that maybe you want to consider in addition to the data that's being collected, you can look at sort of what is your political will, what is the community will, and financially, what is going on in your particular area. You know, research will talk and point about, well, there's economic benefits to cross-jurisdictional sharing, to regionalization, and there's been research that has even suggested what a particular jurisdictional size should look like in order to create efficiency. And then there's data that says, well, when we share services, we in fact have efficiency. But what's very interesting within the literature, there's not much documentation to say, well, how do we do this? How do we implement it? And then how do we evaluate it? And you know, I can say as a doc student who has combed every source of literature, I can't find it. If it's being done, we really hope to hear from you all today, because in terms of it actually being within peer-reviewed literature, it's limited. So we'd appreciate any feedback from that as well. So you're probably curious, what did the committee determine? Well, they determined that it was feasible. Looking at each critical area through each set of the process, yes, it was feasible. And then ultimately, it was feasible for this to occur. So the decision was, we're going to consolidate and merge these agencies. And that's what Jean will spend time talking about. My second aspect will be talking about, we then replicated this methodology. We use those same critical areas in a neighboring county, and here it is, Portage County, and right next to it is Summit, where we were able to very much replicate the same thing. And so looking at one of the critical areas, this was a data collection tool, again, that didn't translate very well. But if you think about, we used Excel quite often. We didn't use some very high-powered statistical software for this data collection. So in terms of simplifying your work and organizing it, it is very possible. So, for example, when we looked at comparing public health personnel within Portage County, we asked each health district to give us job descriptions, number of employees, salary rates, benefits, health benefits, vacation days. And so this is one example of Kent City, which is one of the health districts in Portage County. And so what we were able to do is when we had this data, we went to the committee to say, yes, there are some differences, but nothing that would really bar them working together, either sharing resources or becoming one. The thing that I'm most excited to share with you sort of was an evolution of our entire project, because we really struggled with this particular group in educating them about public health, educating them about the 10 essential services, educating them about what we do every day and what practitioners experience. And so as a way of sort of organizing and demonstrating where some of the gaps were within the public health system in Portage County, we created a matrix. This is only part of it, but just to get a sense, our columns demonstrate the 10 essential services. And then across the top are rows are the particular areas where public health services and programs lie. So what we did is we looked across the entire county and we took programs and services from these public health departments and started placing them within the cells. And when we walked into the meeting and demonstrated, look, injuries and accidents are completely blank. Nobody's doing this. And if they're doing it, maybe it's a community organization that we need to find out, but we're not collaborating to know that we're doing this. And so the same, when we looked ultimately at maternal and child health, which is interesting because if you look at where a majority of the programming lied, was environmental hazards, which makes sense. That's in Ohio, our Ohio revised codes, where the mandated programs, where there was funding. This is what public health has traditionally done, right? Protected, promoted. But when you look over at chronic disease, where we know the movement is to actually make a change, there's very limited programming that's going on. And they recognized it. They knew this. But at the same time, it's a matter of funding, staff, training. So here's an example sort of up close. If you wanted to take a look at specifically, communicable disease, what was done within the county, immunization, communicable disease control, which is something that, again, is mandated, has to be done, and then the tracking, et cetera. But for us, it was a very interesting way to portray the needs and services and to sort of say, look, if we partner our resources together, look what can be done. And look what can be done as we add in new partners or actually consider regionalizing our services. So some of the lessons that were learned, because when you compare sort of the two counties together, we're here today primarily to talk about Summit County, knowing that they started with the sort of pre-planning, they moved to the feasibility, and then the implementation and evaluation. And when we look at Portage County, we were able to do sort of the pre-planning and the feasibility, and that's sort of where they're still are. And when we look at some of the lessons learned, one important lesson is that political will is very important. And Jean will spend some time talking about that the leadership, the city council, county executive, the mayor were very much on board and supportive of this happening. And the climate within Ohio was as well. When we look at prior work relationships, again, Jean will spend time talking about this, that Summit County, they've worked together for years and years collaborating on grants, projects, so it was a natural partnership. And so there's a need for consensus building. And my last thought was, and that will tie sort of to our third area, really has to do with the fact that if you're considering the feasibility process, we recognize that the eight critical areas are very significant. It's a great way to measure. It's a great way to organize and collect data. But there's also really a need to have baseline information and standardized baseline data. So if there's a way during the feasibility process that you create a work group that looks at data management in terms of even as simply as what are our monthly numbers? How many people come into our WIC clinic? How many people use our tuberculosis clinic? And that way you can begin to streamline the information, have sort of the pre and the post to demonstrate that connection in terms of impact. So the next steps are that the assessing feasibility was the easy part. Jean will spend time talking about all of the work that was done in all of its details.